Hey everyone, welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name's Kelly and we are going to dig right in today. If you're new here, I just want to let you know that we talk about flower discoveries. We have an interview with a special guest. A lot of times that is a floral designer, but we have all kinds of different people from the flower world here. So no matter what you do with flowers, whether you grow, design, create, sell, give flowers, if flowers are a part of your life and you resonate with the mission of loving the world through flowers, this is the right place for you. You have found a family to dream with. So let's dig in. Hey everybody, it's Kelly. And today, instead of flower discoveries, I am going to be addressing something that we've been getting a lot of questions about recently, and that is about hiring freelancers and what that might look like for your business next year, or now, or whenever it is that you need them. But right now, we're in the middle of coronavirus and have a lot of wedding reschedules for 2021. People are really busy. And the demand that we're looking at for freelancers is increasing. So if you happen to be a business owner who is considering hiring freelancers, maybe you haven't done it before, I have just a few quick tips for you. The first one is to work on a freelance agreement. And this is just essentially a contract that you can have on hand. If you're working with an experienced freelancer, they may have a contract as well. You can put those two things together and come to a mutual agreement. A few things that you should definitely have in there is the scope of what needs to happen and the rates that you will be paying and how they'll be paid and all those kinds of things. It's a great place to put all of the details of the job in one place. So start working on one of those. Another thing that you'll want to do is check with your small business development center in your area so that you can get contacts for any regulations that your individual state locality may have regarding freelance employees, and educate yourself about what that means where you are. Another thing that is important is to ask for a resume. I think that if you'd like to have somebody, maybe you're taking on more than one wedding, and there needs to be a level of, a significant level of responsibility that this person will be taking on. I think it's so great to know what does their skill level look like. That will help you know what fair compensation looks like. That'll help you determine what level of responsibility this person can take on and can handle for you. Is it somebody who specializes in overhead installations that you're asking them to come on and to handle the entire overhead installation construction? Or is it somebody who is, more of an extra set of hands? So that resume is going to help you understand if they're a good fit for the project that you need them for. So get really good at reviewing those resumes, and don't be afraid to ask for one. Those are a few of my quick tips about having freelancers on your team. Hope they help. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Today, our special guest is Nicole Rossi from Texture Florals in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She is an architect turned floral designer, and she founded Texture Florals, which provides floral design and styling services for weddings, events, photo and video production. She views floral design as an art form, and her work is largely influenced by a desire to create the unexpected. You can find her work and photos at textureflorals.com and at textureflorals on Instagram. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be chatting with you.
Yes, I'm very excited to have you here. I'm so interested to know a little bit more about your background as an architect and how some things maybe that you used in the world of architecture have translated into the work that you do in floral design today. I don't think we've had an architect turn floral designer on the podcast yet. So please share your unique perspective.
Happy to be the first. So I practiced architecture for almost a decade. 6 years of schooling. So a lot of design education under my belt wasn't floral related in any way, but what I've taken from it, I think the most is an appreciation for using the negative and positive space in my arrangements, in my installations, thinking about negative space just as much as positive space, and how you really always just, in my mind, want to keep the eye constantly moving when you're looking at a work. So there's kind of just like that flow of the elements that you're using to have your eye just kind of jumping around an arrangement and making the viewer kind of like step back and have them see it the way you want them to see it. So I would say that's probably the biggest takeaway from architecture.
Very cool. So how your eye is kind of moving in and out through a space and some of those high points, low points.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Nicole, how, what are maybe some common like faux pas of what would make a space feel really unsettled or uncomfortable or a little bit confusing to be inside that might also relate to floral design? And I'll say I'm currently, the house that we live in has a lot of different ceiling heights, and they all just kind of like flow together. One of those like open floor plans without, you know, the individual like entries into different rooms. And I am finding that to be very uncomfortable to live inside of. Why is that? Is it just that there is no open, no close? I can't like quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, I think, you know, circulation is a big element of design, and I think making sense of a space by what you're using it for. So you definitely want to think of the function of something. Form over function is a big phrase in architecture that we kind of go back to. So maybe that has something to do with it, but I definitely think about, you know, in design, you're thinking about how someone's moving through a space, so that circulation, and I think that is easily translatable to flowers, and whether you're working with a small vase arrangement or a large-scale installation, how is this going to be used? Where's the front? Where's the back? Where are the sides? How do we want it to be viewed? All of those different elements.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So Nicole, whenever you're designing a room for a wedding and you're thinking about how people are moving through the space, and say, I don't know, there's something about the space that the client comes to you and they're like, I'm trying to hide this thing over here. Can you like put flowers all over it? What's your response to that? And is that the right thing to do?
No, I just had that happen too a few weeks ago. Yeah, I really think about, you know, I want to be very conscious of the client's budget and always, and the best use of their budget. And if there's something that you want to hide or mask, I would say adding flowers to it is the last thing you want to do to hide or mask that. Let's, you know, focus on something else. Let's not draw more attention to something that you want to hide. You know, maybe we shift the attention away from that direction. Maybe it's just a matter of reworking the setup of the room. But yeah, I would generally say if there's an eyesore in the room, the last thing you want to do is draw attention to it by adding flowers to, and then also, you know, using a big chunk of your budget possibly for something that you want to hide. And I don't think that's the way that you should think about design at all.
Redirect. That's really great mm-hmm. advice. Mm-hmm. Let's chat a little bit about, let's kind of hop over and talk a little bit maybe about business. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend it's January and mm-hmm. inquiries seem to be slowing down a little bit. What do you do or how do you mm-hmm. respond to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if everyone responds in this way, but me personally, I like to go on vacation in January. So I'm not stressing too much at that point because I'm already prepared for that. I already know it's a slow month. I already know people are just settling down and getting back to some kind of normal routine after the holidays, possibly. They're preparing for their own years. So I use that time to go and travel, whether for as much time as I can, whether that's 2 weeks to 4 weeks. I look forward to that a lot. It helps me clear my mind, refocus, get inspired, see some cool things, do some cool things, and then come back ready to jump back in and prepare for the year. Another thing that I do if I'm not traveling is I always have, usually around January, February, a really fun photo shoot that I've been planning for maybe a few weeks with some people that I've either worked with before or haven't worked with before, to just get creative, get inspired, and use that time to create what I'm not seeing, test out some ideas that I have been, keeping in the back burner throughout the year. And that's what I use January for. And knowing, not to stress about the fact that the inquiries aren't as plentiful as they were a few months ago and things will pick back up. I'm usually not one to stress too much about things like that. I would rather use my time to inspire myself and get myself motivated, knowing that eventually the work will start to pick up again.
Really, really good advice. Thanks for sharing about that. Mm-hmm. Tell us how your business is navigating the changing landscape right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there have been so many phases of this. In the beginning, I was kind of just going with the flows, was just going to hunker down and weather this out, thinking it was going to last for a month or two, stocked up on puzzles and did that for a little bit. And then after about a month or two of that, was really missing creating and feeling productive and feeling like I had a sense of purpose. So I got back into my studio and I just started ordering flowers for myself and creating, working with interesting color palettes, creating vase arrangements, some, tablescaping. And then wanted to try something that I had been thinking about for a while and just never found the time to get around to doing it, which was to really start to play around with photographing my work with an actual camera and not just my phone. So playing around with like a real camera and selling prints of my work. And so I did that for a little bit, which was really rewarding because I, figured out lighting and, played around with photography, figured out printing, which was a whole, it's like speaking another language, working with printers. And then from that, I got a lot of requests to turn my prints into greeting cards. And so that was another thing I tackled and that was really fun. So that kept me busy for probably another month or two. So I have a lot of greeting cards and prints on my website right now. And then the whole backyard wedding, small scale, intimate gatherings is now the next thing that I'm tackling. We had our first backyard wedding 2 weeks ago, and it felt really good to be creating again for someone else other than myself. And it felt, it was a really nice way to kind of ease back into weddings and events because it was, you know, outside and only for like 30, 35 people. So that's where we're, what we're focusing on right now is helping some of our clients that do want to still get married this year. We're helping them like replan everything to make it possible outside for just their friends and family. And so that's what we're focusing on now. And I think that's probably what we're going to continue to focus on for the rest of the year. Aside from, you know, the prints and the greeting cards, I'm not trying to restructure my business in a way that doesn't make sense, I think, for the long haul. Like, I don't really want to get into making deliveries and doing personal flowers because that's not where I see my business going over the next few years. So we're focusing on, yeah, helping our clients be able to celebrate in the way that they want to right now. So nothing too major, but I think it's really important to be able to be there for my clients and be as supportive as I can. And it's really important to be able to make these changes and decisions on the fly and act quickly. And so that takes a lot of energy too. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, good job. I'd say this has been phenomenal to learn the new language, to learn a completely different skill set. Mm-hmm. All of the production that goes on behind that, and then changing all of your, you know, messaging, marketing, and things like that to switch over to this small scale at home piece, changing the way that we talk about weddings and how they are and how they function and what we're able to provide, and really getting at some of those pain points or concern points that people have now is, that's a project in and of itself. To get repackaged and put together from a marketing perspective. So totally. Very cool. Well, tell me a little bit about, if we go back to January and, or we go back even to the photography piece, how you practice and develop skills. Tell us a little bit more about some of the pieces that you made during that time. And do you have any little creativity exercises or little things like that that you like to do?
When I'm, you know, getting into a creative process, I spend a lot of my time focusing on my color palettes. And before I even have flowers in hand, I'm quite honestly spending a lot of time in front of my computer, playing around with different types of flowers and the color combos that I want to work with, and getting that figured out before I'm even stepping into the studio. So I do have like a pretty good idea of what it is that I'm going to be working with. It's something that I spend a lot of time figuring out. And then once I'm in the studio, I don't try and have too much structure around what it is that I'm going to be creating, because honestly, a lot of the times what I have in my head is not what ends up being produced. I don't do a ton of sketching. I kind of trust my eye as I'm working and layering. And I think that has been really helpful for me to just be a little bit more flexible with my designs and kind of go on the fly and not think too much about what it is that I'm making, because I think you get the best surprises that way. And so when I'm in my studio, and I've been this way from day one working with flowers when it was just a hobby, I will be in my studio for hours and I'll make a vase arrangement, and then I will take it apart and use those flowers and recut them and reassemble a new arrangement, maybe with a different vase, but usually always still the same flowers, to see all the different types of shapes that I can make and how different flowers look, or how flowers pair differently with other flowers, and how just working with colors, you can, even if you're using the same flowers in the same vases, pairing some flowers together in a way that highlights one color, or maybe you wanted to use something with more of a gradient. All those different techniques with color just really make an arrangement speak and can be so different. So that's kind of what I'm doing when I'm creating. I'm just in the studio for hours and, you know, just seeing where that takes me.
Mm. Space, time, mm-hmm. all those kinds of things. That's mm-hmm. good. I love what you said about how some flowers can look different whenever they're paired with different things. And that's one of the things, even though I've looked at a particular flower many, many times, it's amazing how, you know, something new paired with it brings out a quality about the flower that I maybe hadn't noticed quite as much before. And there is something about just that stillness that's needed to be able to take notice of some of these special things about the flowers. So that's awesome. I don't know about some of you that might be new to flowers that are listening, but when I got started in flowers and I was creating arrangements, I had a really hard time with even one leaf being on the table when I was thinking about where to place the next stem. It was so distracting for my eye, and I had to just be on a white wall and white table, and everything had to just be very, very clean, because you are in those early stages of creating your arrangement, really having to inspect and look at each ingredient and what way is it curving and how does that lend itself. And you're building this, you know, three-dimensional object that you don't want it to look like it's falling over forwards or backwards or, you know, to side, really lopsided, unless that's, you know, a part of the mood that you're going for, that you're trying to get to or something. But yeah, so I love all those things. Nicole, is there a paint color perhaps that you found to be really helpful in your studio, or like whenever you're photographing flowers? I know paint is something that really shifts a lot in different types of, you know, in different types of spaces and light, but I don't know, are there any that you're just like, man, don't photograph stuff on red, or just some general thoughts or tips about, you know, what does the light look like in the studio and how to maybe get more of it? Do you use mirrors? I don't know. Tell me more.
Yeah. I generally love, I think the flowers and the color that you're trying to get across pops the best against a white backdrop. I mean, I know maybe that's a little boring for an answer, but I really think flowers photograph best against a white backdrop, and that's typically what my studios have been, are white walls. For lighting, I will use, if I can't focus or I can't use exclusively natural light, I will bring in lighting, artificial lighting with a nice cool bulb, which does wonders, because, you know, natural light is great, but it doesn't always go according to plan when you're focusing on just that. And then in my studio right now, depending on the day, so my studio faces a courtyard, and certain points of the day, I will get like a glare from the walls across the courtyard. and it will have like this yellow cast that comes into my room. So having artificial lighting to help balance that out really is helpful too. And then if you, I use like foam core boards as well too. If I can't get a white wall, I'll bring those with me. And then when I'll play around sometimes too with backdrops that do have a color or with fabric, but I do find that it does alter the color of the flowers a lot. It doesn't look always the way that I'm expecting it to. So if you're okay with that, I think that's fine. But yeah, generally my go-to is white.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing about all of the studio tips and the photography tips. Before we sign off on this episode of the podcast, I'd like to pass the microphone back over to you. Anything that's on your heart for the floral community today that you would like to share? Could be anything, a quote, a word of encouragement, a quick tip, you know, trick of the trade, anything that you want to share today.
Yeah, just generally, you know, what everyone's going through. I'm really proud, especially of my immediate flower community and how supportive everyone has been for each other. Just whether that's lending, you know, an extra pair of hands or a structure that's needed, a huppa, an extra ladder, some vases. Everyone in my community has just been so supportive of each other. And I think that's really important for our industry, is to, you know, help build each other up. And it's so needed right now too, especially with what everyone's going through in their businesses. So I would say, you know, reach out to your local flower shops, your local flower friends, and see if they need any help. If you can do anything to be of service to them, or you have a day off and your local flower farmer needs some help in the fields. I think everyone just needs a little extra support right now. And I think it's really important to provide that.
That is the sweetest thing. It makes me so happy to think about. I'm really glad that you brought that up. It's an excellent time to build relationships, trust, community, all those kinds of things. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing to love the world through flowers. It's also a beautiful thing to love each other in the floral community during this time and through flowers. That's so sweet and such a nice peek into your heart, Nicole. We're so grateful for the work that you're doing with flowers and for what you add to the flower world and the beauty that you create. We appreciate it so much. All right, until next time.
Hi, I'm Andrea Johnson of Andrea Johnson Floral Design. I have a floral studio based in Toronto, Ontario. And today I'm here to talk about outside of the box creative floral collaborations with visual artists. So as we all know and love, the flowers are a living medium, a medium with a beginning, middle, and eventually an end. Our living medium celebrates love, loss, romance, happiness, friendship, reaching achievements, hitting milestones, and a whole lot more. And while the living art we create makes personal moments more special and definitely more memorable, it eventually dies and is tossed away. At best, this art is hung to dry and it becomes something that moderately resembles what it once was. But maybe our creations and art can live on, even after the moment and the flowers have passed. Over the past few months, we've all been looking for new ways to help our businesses bud into new avenues and bloom without our regular weddings and events. We're all in a creative line of work, and that requires us to think outside of the box. And this season in particular in the floral industry is no exception. In fact, I would argue that it's a bit harder. So as I looked for ways to shift my floral business, I began to wonder what other communities I could be a part of outside of our fabulous floral event and photography community. I began to embrace my daily floral creations as living art. So every time a client placed an order with me, it felt very personal, like a commissioned piece of work. Each design element had a deliberate thought process behind it, It was like a painting. And it was this aha moment that actually led me to ask myself some important questions. So what if I didn't just identify as a floral designer, but also as an artist? What would that mean for me and my work and who I talk to? What doors could be opened if I connected with artists of different mediums? How could I collaborate with them to grow? And is there any way to preserve not just the living art I create, but also the moments that those designs are made for? And so the roots were planted. This tiny idea of being a floral artist and these questions that I asked myself grew into an all-new initiative I called Canvassed. I spent the past month collaborating with an eclectic collection of 7 Canadian artists of different styles and backgrounds. This collaboration was to interpret my floral designs into lasting works of art as a new offering for clients to order in tandem with my fresh floral designs. So clients can browse the commission artists on my website, place an order for both a floral design and a companion artwork in one simple form. Now, the flowers that I deliver to celebrate a 50th wedding anniversary, a graduation, or surviving cancer can now last a lifetime with an artistic expression created by another fellow artist. Just by thinking about what I do as a floral designer a little bit differently led to Canvas, and that started me down a very exciting new path. Not only can I offer my clients something unique, so a preservation of memories, I'm now connected to 7 different artists and their communities. I am also getting to know them as individuals, what they like to do, the music they listen to, the people, places, and things that inspire them. And these new relationships and what I'm learning from these incredibly talented artists will be invaluable in ways I can't even begin to forecast. And that excites me. As you work on creative ideas for your business and different avenues to inspire more work, I encourage you to look around at the different people in your community and assess if your business aligns with them in ways you wouldn't have noticed before. Connecting and collaborating with different people outside of our regular channels can be extremely rewarding. But I warn you, it's also hard work. So I've included a few helpful guiding principles if you decide to get creative with collaborations. Number 1, explore how you identify and talk about your work. Once you understand your work more deeply, you can begin to make creative correlations with others you usually wouldn't have thought about. This would be where you discover your new idea. Number 2, think through and write down your new idea and structure thoroughly from the perspective of the client, partners, and your business. This helps when approaching prospective partners. The more you put down on paper, the more likely you are to approach the right people, and those people will take you seriously. Number 3, as you approach individuals, remember your idea is based on collaboration and partnership. You are providing them with a new and exciting concept. They should also be bringing value to your idea and your business. Number 4, once you have your collaboration idea set and your partners on board, lists are your best friends. I cannot express this enough. List out what you need to do for your business and your brand, as well as what you need from your partners, and make sure your lists have deadlines, or that thing you thought you'd do this year is definitely going to bleed into next year. Number 5, do not underestimate the power of a contract. It protects you, your idea, and your partners, so make sure you both sign one. Number 6, promotion. Tell publications about your idea. Tap into your partner's community as you get close to launching. Your partners are just as excited to be on this new adventure with you, and they have an entire group of people you've never reached before. And last but not least, be patient and continue to work at it. There's often a significant lag between a new idea and when clients recognize it, and it's okay for that something new to take time to grow into something spectacular, just like a flower. We are all working hard to reevaluate what our businesses can do right now, and getting creative with your collaborations with new communities can be just the fresh water you need to grow and blossom as a business.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.